Ooh.
Thursday, November 21st.
Ooh. They didn't say that, Danny. You're supposed to be a pip now. Come on.
November 21st.
What's?
She's going to be performing in Athens.
Okay, but I'm saying
she's coming home.
Come on, man. Give me a pip. I'm standing here waiting for my other pip.
I'm telling folks when you can go see her.
Noel, will you be a pip? Come on. Get your arms going.
I'm too busy being Gladys.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You could have gave that information out after you were a pip for a minute.
I still want chicken and waffles, but that's a whole different story.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And it's Sunday morning. It's the 29th day of September. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And good morning to all you Gladys Knight and the Pip fans in Tucker.
In Tucker. I'm sure there are quite a few there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they would love to see me and you do a – I had her play
there,
man.
They would love to know that she is coming home to perform. She's going to do a concert Thursday night, 8 p.m. at the Classic Center in Athens.
That's
Gladys
great.
Knight.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
But we could have
– we could. Sam, what is that?
Huh?
Athens.
You said Thursday at Athens?
Thursday, November 21st.
Right there before Thanksgiving, sounds like.
Right there at the Classic
Center. Is it the week before Thanksgiving or we had
– the Classic Center in Athens.
21st would be, yeah.
Let's see if I can get Pamela out to Athens. Y'all know she likes him. She likes him Gladys Knight.
Well, there you go. She's coming home.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
now. She played that because today was the day that song hit number one.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it through the grapevine. Hit number one. Give me the year. Doesn't matter.
67.
Wow. Control of the board stays with Mr. Crenshaw.
I knew it was somewhere right around in there.
Nice going. Well, it makes sense because this is the segment that... We turn it over to you. This is just loaded with insignificant information. I'm not a singer. I stink at singing, but I can do ooh. And so I thought we'd have that little pip connection there toward the end. Pips. You know what else happened on this day?
On this day.
Right around the corner, down the street, started broadcasting. Happy anniversary, WSB.
Really?
Today was the day that Channel 2 began broadcasting in 1948.
Okay.
At least that's what the information says here.
All right.
So congratulations.
And you know what WSB stands for?
No.
Welcome South Brother.
Welcome South Brother?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I'm hanging around you. I never knew that before. Why don't they put that on the signs or whatever? Why, if it stands for something, yeah. Wouldn't you think that you would put that out there? We all know what FedEx stands for.
Yeah.
You know, they put the whole thing out. I'm just saying, I never knew that.
Welcome South Brother.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Welcome South Brother.
Yeah. You okay? You all right?
I'm going to let that ruminate for a minute because I never knew that before. So, and besides, it's a perfect time to do that because it's time for you. Listen, before you start talking.
It is 7 o'clock and they're starting to move the patients.
It's right. And we will throughout the day. We talked about this earlier.
On Claremont, if you're going on Claremont Road right now, they're moving the children from the Eggleston Hospital, which is near Emory University campus, and the route that they will take will be down Claremont to go to the new Arthur M. Blank Hospital.
Which means toward 75, mm-hmm. or toward 85. Mm-hmm. They'll probably cross over 85 and get on the access road there right by that Gulf Station.
Right.
And go and drive right down there, one right exit on to North Druid Hills.
Drive right on in.
Yeah.
So that is the path that they are taking as they are moving the patients there. So we'll watch for vehicles, children who've been in the hospital getting special care. They will now be getting that care at the Arthur M. Blank Hospital. Congratulations once again to Mr. Blank for that accomplishment, as well as last week with the Ring of Honor.
You keep saying things that remind me of thoughts that I've had, and I've been thinking about this lately about Arthur Blank. And I've been here now long enough in the city where I can say this. I never thought I would see a philanthropist do what Ted Turner did to this city in a public way. I'm sure there's other people who spend money and are philanthropists, but they don't do it as publicly as Ted Turner did. And I never thought I'd see anybody in this city surpass that and have just the cachet and everything that he had, again, in this particular city.
Yeah.
And Arthur Blank, I think, has surpassed that.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see that. And I'm not going to measure he's done more or less or whatever, but his name is as prominent. Now, let's put it this way. Did you ever think, or anybody who's an Alabama fan, think that they would ever be anybody who would make you, not forget, but look at career as a coach similar to Bear Bryant.
Yeah, and then for so many years, there wasn't that.
You know what I mean?
And for people who still remember him, there's still that. But what Saban has done over there is, you know,
so that's what I'm saying,
a whole different level. And in a different media age.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. It's a different media age where people have the access to it. So, I mean, that's the other part of it.
All right, before you start talking, I'm going to say congratulations. I could not make it to the event, but I know you're going to speak upon something. And shout out to the queen, as we like to call her, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to the queen, Monica Kaufman Pearson, or yeah, however she puts that, in whatever order. We talked to her a few months back. You've known her for a while, and that you continue.
All right.
I know that was an awkward handoff. I'm sorry. I don't want to say nothing stupid or anymore.
Well, first of all, a shout out to Dr. C. Shandon Carter and the people with the Rice Awards, Rising in Community Excellence Awards, that was taking place yesterday at the City Hall Atrium, which is the same time the Georgia State, Georgia Southern game was going on. We're getting to that in a minute. But I dare not miss this event. Being presented an award named after Monica Kaufman Pearson, and we've had her on the show, and I told her what she means to me and how she, you know, after I was a college student, said, come sit down here, let me get my phone book, and I'm going to call people and tell them about you. And mm-hmm. It's something she didn't have to do, and I do my best to try to pay that forward today. So yesterday we had the honor, and Queen was a little late. Queen got a couple of trees down and power out of the
well,
house.
Where she lives, I would imagine.
You know, yeah. But she was on her way to something else.
She didn't she always? Ain't that what her husband said? She's supposed to say no more often. Right?
Supposedly, she does that more these days. But when something that came on it, and I want to make sure and be there. So Doug Turnbull from Up the Dial and Evelyn Mims, who I worked with for a number of years at 11 Alive, and Judith Martinez-Sadrick, we were the four winners of the Monikerson Award for Outstanding in Media and Journalism. Appreciative and thankful.
Yeah, man, that's
that.
A nice award. It's one of them. I don't know what shape that is, but it looks official, and it's heavy, which means it's expensive.
So I'm thankful for that. Then I left and went across the street to Georgia State. And Georgia State, they were down 24-7, I think, and they come back. It was 24-21. They miss a field goal attempt, and it seemed like that took a lot of that whatever out of them. And mm-hmm. Georgia Southern ends up winning. Maybe they were angry because they didn't let them bring the bird. They told him you can't bring your live eagle mascot into Center Park Stadium. They wouldn't let him in there. I think he's been there before, but they wouldn't let him.
And what were they afraid of? Did they let you know?
I don't know. They were just saying they weren't the bird to the game, and so maybe that's why they were a little upset because they couldn't bring the bird.
I've never seen one of them birds of prey attack anybody.
No,
they've landed on other people. Well, I've seen that.
This one doesn't. This particular is a rescue. Okay. The beak is cracked, so they can't feed themselves. They can't go out and
what?
And, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. That
so
makes
they
sense.
So they have to take care of him. You have to take care of him. So he's, you know, but 38-21 the final. Georgia Southern and folks from downstate gets the win yesterday, and they celebrated and had a great time in the Georgia Grown Bowl. They got a big old cup from the Agriculture Commissioner and all that good stuff to take back down the road with them. Kennesaw State dropped. What's wrong, man?
I'm still working on the cracked beak.
Yeah,
because I never thought about that before. If you got a cracked beak, your bird, you can't eat.
You can't.
Right. Like you're losing your can opener.
You're right. You can't go out there and get you nothing to eat.
But there's
right?
some birds that don't have beaks.
I don't know if he found the other. I don't know.
You know,
they eat soup.
Bills.
They eat soup.
They eat soup. Well, how they gonna open a can if they got no?
That's the other thing, right?
Go ahead, Matt. Finish.
Yeah. Kennesaw State homecoming didn't go too well yesterday. UT Martin beats them 24-13. The alma mater, although one of their plays from this game makes it to
Made
the top
it,
10,
yeah,
but it was against West Georgia. So North Alabama beats us 25-16. Final score: West Georgia. That's moving up to this D1. This new conference is rough. Couple of games canceled yesterday: Valdosta State and West Alabama. Obviously, Valdosta State got their problems. Shorter and North Greenville canceled. Obviously, North Greenville, they got, you know, problems with flooding from weather up that way. Albany State beats Kentucky State 49-21. Morehouse falls to Benedict 20-5. Clark Atlanta keeps on winning. They come from behind. They're still undefeated. They beat Lane 38-28. LaGrange 40. Methodist 24, Georgetown, Kentucky 34, Reinhardt 31. There is a game today on ESPN Plus at 1 o'clock, Savannah State and Fort Valley. they will play their game today. So that's some college football to tell you about. Christopher Bell is on the pole for this week's cup race in Kansas. Ty Gibbs, Kyle Busch, and Tyler Reddick, your top four qualifiers. You know, Greg, whenever the people evacuate Florida, there's a place here that people usually go.
I used to work out there, and that's when I started knowing of it. 2.5 million square feet of parking space.
And this is?
Atlanta Motor Speedway.
I called there Thursday.
Uh-oh.
I said, and you know, how many of y'all got out there? There's nobody here. Says we're telling them to keep going. They did not evacuate Atlanta Motor Speedway this week. They felt like with that storm, the just whatever that storm had the potential to do in our area too.
Right.
They told people to keep going.
North?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said go up to the track at Charlotte. Go up to the campground at the Charlotte track, Charlotte Motor Speedway. Which I, you know,
I
wasn't expecting to hear that.
I wasn't either. You know,
we always tell people, listen, evacuation place is Atlanta Motor Speedway. And I call out there and he says, man, we're just hunkering down out here. We're getting a little something to eat and we're hunkering down. I'm like, how many you got?
Yeah.
And they're like, nobody.
Brandon Hutchinson and his staff are quite smart because they obviously they were watching the weather reports too.
Yeah.
And you don't want to invite somebody to the backyard when it's in.
Yeah.
You know, the path of the storm, or at least those rings, which was doing all manner of destruction.
Yeah. So Atlanta Motor Speedway passed people off, asked them to grab a little further north. And even up in North Carolina, they have their issues up there. And we get into that some as we go along. Matter of fact, when we're talking college football, you got Coach Lamb, anything over there? If she has that, Noel? I don't know if she has that.
Yeah, she's working on it.
Yeah, Coach? We told you a story about East Tennessee State and how they were looking to get down to Charleston and how they ran into all kind of problems trying to get to Charleston from their game because the roads were washed out up that way. Here's Coach Trey Lamb talking about the experience.
Because these last 36 hours have been hard now, hard on the families, not knowing where their sons were for a few hours, and these guys handled it well.
I was going to say, what have these 36 hours been like, you know, just as a coach, but just trying to get here and everything
just,
else?
You just don't plan on stuff like that as a head coach. And you know, sometimes you feel like it's your fault and you're responsible for 100 kids. And just proud of the way they played, man. We got out of there yesterday or this morning and wanted to play the game they wanted to play. And glad we did. Good to see him. Good to see him get a win.
That's Coach. Wow. I mean, he is in tears. He is in
you
tears.
You can tell he's
crying. And people are familiar with the Lamb family, obviously, up in Calhoun, where he's from. But just the idea, they were stuck. They had to spend a night out in the parking lot of a homeless shelter. I mean, because of the rain and the conditions and the roads washed out, they managed to make it there. And, you know, they had no cell service just for a time. You know, you got a group of people. And you're responsible for them. And that's the condition that they were in. Thankfully, they made it there. They won the game. They beat Citadel. And hopefully today they'll make it back home safely. We did have some high school games. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of them. But I will say that Appalachia did play yesterday. A game at 11 o'clock kicked off yesterday. They did not win, but they did get back on the field. Clarkson beat them 48-21. But the score really kind of. It doesn't matter that much. You just get those young people to get back on the field and get back to experience and that and what it means for that school and for that community for them to return.
There's just a whole lot of people looking across the street during this last couple weeks with Mother Nature and other things that have happened. How you doing over there? Can we help you out some?
Yes.
That's what's been going on throughout this state.
Absolutely.
I've been watching that a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has appealed to us to do that. And we're going to do that. That's what we do. When our neighbors are in need, neighbors are hurting, you know, we spring into action.
When your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't ask how much the hose costs.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You go in there and do what you got to do. All right. Listen, we have got, and I apologize because we're going to pronounce his name wrong. Hopefully we'll get it right when he shows up. But we got, was the last time we talked about a race going on at Road Atlanta?
Been a minute.
So we're going to talk, how would you pronounce this? J-O-A-O. Yo-Yo? Joyo?
Joyo.
Joyo. Maybe the J
Barbosa.
Is silent. We got the last part right. That's good. And then coming up, we're going to let later on in the hour, we're going to let you know how you can grab some money. It is flying through the air, and there actually has been an uptick as far as productions going on in this state. I'll let you know about some of them coming up. It is Sam and Greg. We are here, the opening act, on this Sunday morning, getting ready for a full day of football action, Falcons and Saints going at it. We're going to talk to D-Led coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this 29th day of September. Still working on our guests. Hey, by the way, Sammy Hagar sat down with a couple folks, and he's actually considering doing a residency.
Oh, really? Vegas. Okay.
He never thought about doing it. Obviously, okay. You know, rock stars don't need that. But given what is going on in the entertainment business, and mm-hmm. you got a lot of people going back out because streaming has taken a big chunk of those residuals they used to sit back and just go out and get mailbox money from. So Hagar's got the catalog, and as long as he can do, you know, do some Van Halen stuff, he's considering setting himself up there in Van Halen Las Vegas.
Okay.
We will see. Do you remember what your first car was? We're going to get ready to hopefully speak to a driver here. Do you remember what your first car was?
Pontiac Le Mans.
Pontiac Le Mans? Okay. Mm-hmm. You remember? Nice color and everything?
Yeah.
My first car was a Camaro Rally Sport. That's okay. Just opposed to a regular. It was a rally, which I never saw before and only a few times afterwards. But I got it at Al Pamani in Chicago. Al Pamani, and it was a used car. So Al Pamani Ford on First Avenue, and Roosevelt Road.
What kind of commercial did he do on TV?
Oh, he was exactly
come out that bang on
He looked
like Tom Stymus and Dusty Rhodes.
No. He looked like the owner of a really nice Italian restaurant on the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
He was that guy.
Okay.
We welcome you to our restaurant. Come on in here and have a couple steaks on us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was that sort of welcoming thing.
He didn't bang on the hood though. I got a deal
no.
for you.
Al Pamani. I remember going to my father.
Got a deal for you right here. Bang. You know, they got a deal with you. Come on to get these deals. Bang. You know.
This is how stupid I was.
Nope.
I went to buy this car on my own. Right? because I hadn't had a job. I was like, you know, anyway. So I went to the dude, and he shows me this Camaro. And at the time, it was probably 10 years old. Right? It was just a beater. And it was a really, really uncomfortable-looking green.
Ooh.
So then, well, first of all, I went and asked him. I said, hey, do you think you can take $100 off that?
Working a deal. Work it.
That's where I started, at $100. Right? And he looked at me funny. I think back to this day, and I just crack up laughing what he must have been thinking. He looked at me and gave me one of those, yeah sure, no problem. That's all you asking for. But I got the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I got it home, I got that look from my father. But, of course, he says, this is one of those life lessons. You're going to learn it, and you're going to take care of this thing. And when you can't take care of it no more, you know, you're going to get rid of it. Because I'm not helping you with payments or none of that stuff.
Yeah.
But the first thing I did, I took, because I didn't like the color, and I took it to Earl Scheib. People out there are laughing right now because they know Earl Scheib.
Earl Scheib, right?
I paint any car $69.99. I got that car painted to I think they called it forest green. But it was a green that made you just uncomfortable. I could give you an analogy, but I'm not going to.
Okay, don't do that.
Of things that were that color green. And so, yeah, I painted it. But I say that all to say, today was the day that Chevy unveiled the Camaro.
Really?
Yes. There's a means to an end of using my stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, today was the day Chevy brought out the Camaro, but it wasn't called the Camaro. It became the Camaro a year or two later, but it was first brought out and they called it the Panther. I know, right? You can't try to picture
that. I don't remember that at all.
Well, it didn't last long, like I said. It was like 60s. But this is when they introduced. Listen, nobody cared about anything in the mid-60s if it wasn't a Ford Mustang. That was the car, right?
Yeah.
You wanted
that was a cool car.
Yeah, you wanted that car. But yeah, Camaro came out on this day. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We have not had a chance, as we sit here and try and get to our guest, done our story of the week.
Yeah.
So since we have this opportunity, Noel, if you please.
It's time, Greg's Story of the Week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
Well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's Story of the Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
Now, there are a few obvious ones to choose from. I believe you and I would have landed, like last week, we would have landed on the same one. So I chose one that I didn't think you were going to choose, but it is because of where this all happened in my old hometown, that Derrick Rose retired.
Yeah.
And I wrote this down as my story of the week because I believe this could be news. Derrick Rose could be the first league MVP that won't go to the Hall of Fame. Has he given you Hall of Fame numbers? Has he given you a Hall of Fame career? And the fact that you got to think about it to me says
no. He to it though.
Oh yeah, he was absolutely to win an MVP during the Shaq and Kobe years.
Pre-injury, he was really on his way to it.
And then he came back and he was still a very, very good player. And then he went into this whole weirdness where he wasn't going to play hard because kids later, and that really upset some folks. Like I'm basically telling you. I'm not playing the way I used to at heart because I want to be in condition to play with my kids later. Worse.
Yeah.
And that display of not want to, that playing in a blue-collar city like that, and you make a statement like that, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But either way, despite that, as a player, from soup to nuts, can you say Derrick Rose is a Hall of Famer?
It'd be hard to say that.
Noel?
He may still make it, but...
So that's what I'm saying. He may be the first MVP, league MVP, and I'm going to throw this out there, but he may not be the last. Does Russell Westbrook make it Hall of Famer?
I think he does.
Really?
Yeah, because all the records.
But he went for that.
There's a difference between Oscar Robertson not trying to do it.
He got it.
Okay.
I agree with you, Greg.
You agree with me, right?
But I don't think it's going to be viewed that way. I agree with you. He was pushing Steven Adams out there to get the rebounds. But I don't think it's going to be viewed that way once we get to
5 years after he's gone. Here's the other one, James Harden. Y'all got to think about it. That's what I'm saying.
No.
You're saying no, Sam?
I don't think so either.
No.
So he may be the second. I'm just saying, Derrick Rose was alarmed.
And if some kind of way Harden ends up on a team that wins a championship.
If he wins a championship next way, is the perception of him being MIA during the playoffs going to go away for you?
Well, apparently, if he wins it, he's going to have to show up for the playoffs.
That's just one, though. He's got a body of work that shows he hasn't.
If he gets one and wins it, I mean, that's...
All right. I'll use another analogy. A-Rod got a World Series ring. You forget about what happened before that? You see what I'm saying?
About what happened?
All the stuff that he had did and got caught doing. A-Rod got a World Series ring with the Yankees.
Yeah.
He was always considered, like I say about Peyton Manning, the best regular season home run hitter.
Right.
So he finally got one on Derek Jeter's coattails.
Okay.
But all the things you thought of about A-Rod didn't dissipate once he got that ring.
Yeah.
I'm saying the same thing applies to James Harden.
Well, A-Rod's different because he's included in the folks that participated in the stuff, and they all put them in a separate corner. So I mean that's to me that takes that code,
what you giggling at?
What? They all the people who participated in that stuff are all sitting over there.
Put that over there. Yeah, I got you.
Eventually at some point they're going to wave them in but right now they're in a corner.
Yeah, right now they're still in timeout.
Yeah.
But as far as future MVPs, Greg, I think you have hit on something. I think Derrick Rose might be the beginning of something we hadn't seen before.
Cuz listen, after Harden, I think Giannis is getting in.
Yeah,
and I think Joker is getting it. I think those two are getting it. The last couple are getting in. You don't think? Listen, their careers are still going on. Giannis, if he continues, maybe gets another championship.
No.
But if he's the dominant player in his position during his years, and he's now got a championship, I think he gets in.
Yeah, see, they're dominant without question. The people we're talking about is like, how long did their dominancy last? Did they do enough?
Right. So I'm just saying, but the MVPs
we're naming, I don't think so.
You don't think so either, Harden?
But I think we may be in an era where we'll have more flash in the pan see MVP years. Like, because you do get rewarded for that, like, single season. So if you can have one of those just insane outlier seasons, you can get the MVP and then kind of, like, disappear. I think with Derrick Rose, though, we all understood it was injury-based. Like, my dad was saying it the whole time watching him. Like, if he don't change his style of play, he ain't going to be playing
He played too violent. But so did Russell Westbrook. And y'all are on the fence. So you think he gets in. Or, Sam, you think he gets in Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah.
Say...
I think he gets in. I'm saying if I was a writer, I would probably hold that against him, but I don't think writers will.
But James Harden?
I don't see it for James Harden.
Me either.
Too many wings, too many clubs. Too many Kardashians. I think they're going to hold all that against
them. Oh, no.
I think they're going to hold all that.
Not all that. Oh, my goodness.
And the other two, we're still a wait and see. We'll see how Giannis's career continues and obviously Joe. But the dude got three. He's going in. I don't care what you say. A big boy in Denver's already gone in.
Both of them are pretty much cemented in where they're about to go. I mean, and Joker does it like taking a nap on the court. So that's the impeccable part for me. Like, watching him and Bogey almost run through all the Olympic teams. Like, everybody thought Team Canada was going to be the rival to USA. And it's, nope, it's Joker and Bogey.
Let's take advantage of this, Sam, for a second, because we got her on the show here with us, and we're talking basketball, and we don't have our guest. And I was thinking about this, too. We got a whole lot of folks trying to show some people some things in this upcoming NBA season. And I think it is completely a young versus old. And you got Ant-Man, my guy John Morant. I can't wait to see him come back. When he comes back, you got a lot of young stars wanting to show that it's their league now. And I think led by Ant-Man and LeBron and Steph Curry and all those guys that have been there getting it done, how that exit, what that's going to look like. But, Noel, I wanted to ask you, the next year two, what are we going to see in the NBA if you had to sort of forecast around the corner and the players that will then take over this league?
Ooh, well.
Four teams. The Celtics repeat? You going to put your money, are you going to put your rent on the Celtics doing it again?
I can't put my money on anybody doing any repeats or these dynasties. They're going to get that much harder with these new salary cap tier umbrella situation. Like, it's going to get crazy. Like, did you see the blockbuster trade the other day?
Yeah. All them Villanova boys.
I was like, huh?
Yep.
Like, I read it, but it didn't even make sense. I was like, Knicks, Carl Anthony Towns. But did you see what they had to give up? They had to basically break up their Villanova squad to go get Carl Anthony Towns. And I don't know if that moves the needle for either team. And so we're going to keep seeing moves like these to try to stay under this certain umbrella. And
to what you are talking about, New York Knicks and Minnesota Timberwolves are finalizing a blockbuster trade involving Julius Randle and Carl Anthony Towns. Sources confirmed to ESPN on Friday night. The deal would see Randle and DiVincenzo wind up in Minnesota and Towns in New York. Mm-hmm. Them two going to Minnesota the way they played last year, I think that's a plus for them.
We got to see how all that spacing works. We might be in a situation where
you got Ant-Man penetrating, he throw it back out to DiVincenzo and hitting that three. Now, Carl Anthony Towns 5 years ago is a big man hitting threes you could count on. This last year, it was like, it was hit or miss.
I would count on that more than Julius Randle.
Yeah, really.
Well, I don't know what he's going to do.
That's my point. Yeah. Okay.
Come on, I can't let you go without saying something about the Hawks.
Oh, somebody tweeted the other
day. Media days, Mark.
Somebody tweeted yesterday. They asked, what have the Hawks done to get better this season? And my answer was addition by subtraction.
Okay.
We had someone come in here to put in a valiant effort. At the shooting guard position was not a good mix
DeJounte.
For who we want to run the floor. And so I think you're going to get more spacing on the floor. You have a lot of taller wings that can handle the ball, that can get in the paint, get out the paint, that can shoot the three. If this goes the way they want it to go, it should look how we want it to look. You know, if not, it'll look like it did last year. But the goal is to not be fighting to sit in eighth seed and get in the play-in. That is the goal, in my opinion. Is to get out of the play-in.
And the question is, does this roster get it done? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like,
We're looking at some people to make some leaps, like Kobe Bufkin and Jalen Johnson.
And we're looking to see what our top draft pick, what both of our draft picks contribute. You know, I'm looking for both of them to contribute, you know, almost right away.
Yeah, you're looking for Ricochet to be a contributor early, so... It all depends on how it mesh and melds together, but I think we had a positive outlook. Mm-hmm. I like it. The goal is to be at least a sixth seed.
Yep.
Okay. And this all, as you said, gets started tomorrow.
Media day is tomorrow, and then they got training camp. They're going to be over in Athens at UGA, where they're going to have their training camp, be over there for several days.
And you know what's great about all this? We got Noel to put her other work down and come in here and talk about the NBA a little bit, talk a little bit about the Hawks. We're going to take a quick little break, come back, and she got to put her, well, not a complete cap on the WNBA, but the regular season.
The
I just said, not a complete cap on it.
No, we got a series coming up that ought to be like the championship series.
Not a complete.
You know?
Right? We got that. So she's going to talk about recap some of the season. She's got a lot of stuff to say.
But you know what? What you're saying is what a lot of folks may be feeling. So we're getting into that. Well, a lot of people may be feeling that it's over.
Because, I don't feel like it's over.
Because a certain player is done in a certain team.
No. That's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm not saying there are a lot of people who are feeling that.
Well, they tune in a minute because she's going to straighten them out, let them know. There's more to talk about. But the only thing that's, you know, over, we talk about the possibility of the Dream next year. That's it. Anyway, she's hanging around. That's the important part. Noel and Sam and Greg coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on the Sunday morning, 29th day of September. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. She's going back on tour.
Yeah.
Carl Crow.
Okay.
She didn't want to.
Yeah.
But just get back to everything we've been talking about. Streaming has infiltrated everything.
Yep.
And
gotta
these
go.
Artists, they can't get the same size check out there at the mailbox money they used to, so they're all headed back
gotta
out.
Gotta go.
And gotta go earn that money again. What was I going to say here today? Oh, I had it right here in front of me.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't really matter. I'll get it in just a second. Oh, I wanted to tell you.
Oh.
Today is the anniversary of the catch. Willie Mays.
Off of Vic Wertz. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Game one of the World Series.
Polo Grounds.
That's right.
Yeah.
So today, you know, and we heard a lot about it when Willie passed a few months ago and relived that whole thing there. And it is now a part of anybody who makes that kind of over-the-shoulder catch.
Yep, everybody instantly compares it to that.
To Willie Mays. All right, this is time where we're kind of combining. And by the way, again, we are only here till 9 o'clock. Now that we're into football season, when the Falcons have a home, you know, 1 o'clock kickoff, Sam and I will be with you till nine. We turn things over to Fricky and Joe Patrick, who, by the way, will be at Northside and Markham.
Yes,
coming up from
new location.
9 a.m. until 11. So, having said that, Noel, I'm going to let you go first because I'm really stepping into your segment. We're going to combine casting call with what's going on with you, but. Bring you back on here because see, she got some WNBA stuff, she got some Dream stuff, and some other stuff that she got on her mind. And if you don't get the casting call, I'm cool with that. I just drive people to the site later.
Well, thank you.
It's all about you.
Well, first I'm gonna have my fan hat on since I got my fan sweatshirt on.
Okay.
No, Sam, I disagree with you. I don't care that they won 3 Super Bowls. Make that call in the end zone. Okay?
Okay.
And the people that were sitting around me felt the same way. You make that call.
She's talking about, we started a conversation earlier about referees and this and that.
Now, when you get a certain level, you get calls.
Sometimes, I said to you, I believe that happens at home, not on the road.
I mean,
we get jobbed everywhere. It just is what it is. But, like, you run into the boy, you pick him up off the ground, the ball hits your helmet, you never turn your head around.
That's right.
How many ways can we commit pass interference. How many ways?
Preach. Go
but
ahead.
You know what? Sam is right in one regard. It can't come down to all of that.
Yep.
And I do appreciate Coach Ross' press conference afterwards because you know what he said? Don't nobody care. We miss alignment. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So we're not even going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Don't tell me nothing I don't want to hear. How are we going to win? How are we going to fix it?
Absolutely.
Even this week, they brought up the situation in the last game of the season last year with the Saints and how that ended with Jameis Winston and all that foolery. And he said, I'm not even going to go with motivation I wasn't a part of. Ooh, talk, coach.
Yeah.
He said, we hate them. We do. I know how it is around here. I know what the goal is, but I ain't going to go with that. I got enough motivation. They the Saints. We got 3 of them in a row. Boom, boom, boom. We got to beat 3 of them in a row. The Saints are first.
Yep.
Ooh, talk to me, Coach Ra.
Yep.
Talk to me.
These are the games that matter, y'all.
Can we turn them into wins? Because I agree with Sam. We've only lost 2 AFC games. You wanted to get them. You felt like you should have got them. But if it's 2 that's going to get away, those are the 2 that need to get away. Get your NFC games. You took care of the Eagles with that impressive 2-minute drive, which I knew was going to benefit us in our favor. Because that's the number one thing. People talk about everything a pocket passer can't. But that's the number one thing, number one place a pocket passer is going to succeed. The 2-minute drill.
Yep. Absolutely.
You give me 90 seconds and a timeout and some guys that can catch the ball and watch me work. So that's what we got. We almost got it against Kansas City, too. You know, things tick one way, another way. You know, we got to figure out how to get a yard on the ground. And we need to figure out all of those things today because New Orleans has a lot of injuries.
Yep.
We're going to put the Falcons to the bed. Let's turn the page to the WNBA. Your Atlanta Dreams season is over.
Yes.
Unfortunately. But they fought valiantly in the first half of that second game. Alicia Gray showed up like it was All-Star weekend again and dropped five of five threes. Ryan Howard was doing Ryan Howard things, and Tina Charles went out there to be the vet that she was and made New York have to turn it up two notches to not come back to LA. That's how bad they did not want to come back to Gateway, y'all. They didn't want to see no swag serve. They didn't want to see, they didn't want to eat no wings. They didn't want none of it. They said, we stand right up here in New York. We're going to let the Aces come to us. We're not getting on a plane. Shout out to them. They did what they needed to do. Sabrina Nescu showed some major growth in the playoffs this year, putting in that mid-range work. Never seen Sabrina get down in the paint like that. I was shocked. I said, Sabrina, where you put this? Where you get this from and put it back? Put it back until y'all play the Aces. I didn't need to see that today. So Sabrina found something extra in the bag. Somehow Stewie got matched up on Ryan Howard and just took the size advantage over, and they did what they needed to do. But you know what? Shout out to the Atlanta Dream, because throughout all the injuries and all the turmoil going on this season, they found their way into that eighth spot. And they have one to grow on for next season. Two coaches have already been let go this season, but it looks like the Dream are taking a wait and grow time approach with Tanisha Wright, and that could possibly be the best route to take. Let's take this younger team and mold them up.
Well, you talk about the coach being gone now, and that's the thing. There's a whole lot of soap opera-ish stuff that took place last week as far as WNBA goes. You got players holding press conferences talking about fans' reaction. Mm-hmm. You got a coach that's a legend in this league, one of the founders of this league, who's let go after just one season.
I was going to ask her about
that. A rookie season with a rookie team. That was insane to me.
Yeah.
Now, was there a second thought? Was there speculation that ran through your head when you heard about that firing? Getting along with, you know...
Well, apparently, Angel Reese.
She came out with a text saying, "Wait, hit me, because I love her."
Right.
Yeah. Angela and Carmilla seem to, you know, be lockstep. And to me, that's what you were. And Kennedy Carter, they all seem to be lockstep with, you know, wanting to be coached by Teresa Witherspoon, and they all seem lockstep. And to me, that's the sky's core to me. Those three, and if those three wanted the coach, and it's a rookie coach, and so I thought that was weird. But it's a lot of things that the Chicago Sky does that are weird, in my opinion. I think that whole ownership is weird.
Who owns them? By the way,
that's a good question. I need to find that out. That's a really good question.
It's not anybody. Okay, is it like this? The folks who own the Braves, is like the group of?
No, I gotta figure out who these people are. But they, the big problem with the WNBA, in my opinion, is there's a range of investment, right? Like who's putting what in each franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to Chicago, it seems like they want more out than they put in. And so this to me was like another weird move of like, what are we really trying to accomplish here with this guy? Because they had a coach that left earlier. That's why Morena Membry wanted the trade out to go to the Sun, because she was supposed to be on a contender. That's why Kalia Copper left early, as soon as that coach left, because she was supposed to be on a contender. They went to do a certain thing. The Sky went a different way, and now it seems like they're going another different way. So is there things that the Sky does that are confusing to me? I'm still kind of like digging into their ownership and front office and, you know, what their goals are and who they are and what they have going on, but I don't.
I'm not done with you. Don't go anywhere because I want to ask you a question, but I want to get this out of the way so we don't have to worry about what I got. I want to drive you guys to 929thegame.com/casting call. Got a new casting call list of job opportunities in front of the camera and behind the camera. You can also see the list right now on Get Cast with Greg on X. There's nothing more important that I have right now. It is slow, but there are job opportunities for you. I'll mention some of them in the 8 o'clock hour before we get out of here. But I want you to take a moment, Noel, and preach to us about who may be leaving the game and probably is, and given the name by the original, the female Black Mamba, is Diana Taurasi being done.
Yeah.
And what you, when you talk to somebody else about her, what is it that you say for our audience members who maybe didn't follow her? Again, Kobe gave her that name.
Yeah. And if you've ever seen DT, if you've seen her play on the court, if you've seen her interact with people on the court, if you've seen her just be in basketball mode, you see why. She's a little more personable than a Kobe was. She has a little more humor, but like all of that agitation, that gruffness on the court, that do anything to, I mean, not anything, but, you know, put in that the dirty work, anything you need to do to be done to go win that game. That is Diana Taurasi. That's why she has so many techs in the league. Like, I think she even ended the last game with a tech, which was just, you know, perfect for Diana Taurasi, because that's who she is. Like, when the rookies were coming in and she was saying, oh, you know, they're going to, you know, have to go through this and it's not going to be so easy. And she was saying that because, oh, I'm going to be the one. If no vet is going to be the one to put you through those paces when you get here, I'm going to be the one. I've always been the one. And so when you see her play on the court and, you know, the little things she does to play with your head on top of being able to drop 40 on you, you know, back in the day. And even being able to drop the 11 or 15 she had the other night in her final game is just impeccable. Like, Diana Taurasi has come in this league and exit the league the way she's come in and left the same way, like full force, full throttle. Amazing. There's a reason why her name is on the practice court in the new practice facility up there in Phoenix.
Yep, absolutely.
She is Phoenix women's basketball.
Absolutely.
Just like Sue Bird is women's basketball in Seattle. They kind of go hand in hand. So to watch them leave right behind each other is pretty nice.
Did you ever have a thought during the season that her exit is being dwarfed by the rookies that came into the league and got all the shine this year?
Rookie, yes. Rookie. Let's keep it funky. It's one rookie that's keeping the spotlight away.
No, but the other ones that came in, just overall. I didn't mean which one is getting more of it. I'm just saying the entrance of these rookies this season.
Yeah. I made that distinction because I think even with all of those rookies, Diana Taurasi would have still gone out like the legend that she is. I think it is the one rookie and what everyone is putting on her that is overshadowing Diana Taurasi's exit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we hadn't talked about that. I was curious how you felt about that.
But shout out to DT, man. Great career. Absolutely. Amazing to watch it.
Absolutely. Now when is we talk about this rookie, which I'll mention, Caitlin. When is her shoe coming out between
Caitlin
now and Christmas?
Clark. No.
No?
So in my opinion,
her shoe's not coming out?
We haven't gotten the official word from Nike, but this has played out exactly how I said it would. I said that they would give her some player exclusive Kobe's first, because that's what she likes to play in. That's exactly what's been happening.
Okay.
They give her two or three Kobe's. But I think Asia Wilson is going to get her shoe first. They seem to already be in the work with Asia Wilson's shoe. So I think we're going to see the A1 first, and then we'll get Caitlin's shoe.
But you won't have it before Christmas?
No, not before Christmas. But we'll probably see.
They'll get that Christmas money.
I don't even think we're going to see Asia's before Christmas, to be honest. And we can talk about Nike and their campaigns and how I feel like they have not been as in tune with things like they were in the 2010s, but
I think they rested on the laurels.
Yes, very much so.
Wow,
we've seen this before.
Converse did the same thing when you know them guys were coming up in the mid 80s. They had Magic and Larry and all the big stars, and Nike. That's a tennis company. Hey, we ain't gonna worry about them.
Hey, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hey, I was gonna ask you, did Candace play any preseason games? And I ask that because of this. Technically, is her last year in the league last year? Or did she
last year.
I was just thinking, if she played, because I remember the announcement came just before the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if she played in some preseason games, maybe.
No, she didn't play.
I was going to ask, because imagine the Hall of Fame induction ceremony in 5 years from now.
I know, right?
If it would have been the two of them.
Yeah, because you know they're both going to be first ballot. But,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
All right. We're moving into this 9 o'clock hour. We're going to turn things over to John Frickey and Joe Patrick coming up, as we are the opening act for a day of football action. Saints and Falcons, of course, kick off at 1 o'clock. We got your pregame started at 11. And by the way, we got the night game for you, too, in case you can't get in front of a TV. Buffalo at Baltimore, pre-kick at 7:30, kick at 8:15. But up next, we're going to get you set. We got D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us and getting you ready for today's matchup. Oh, I'm sorry. One other guest, the Sports Rev. Before we get nationally and talking about what's going on in the world of sports, let's focus on our folk here in Atlanta, as you like to say. And the Sports Rev, be known to be connected with Augusta. I'm going to talk about you folks out there still dealing with a little bit of Helena and that hurricane. That is coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com.